Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning. We'd like to, as always, encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors down the row. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first time here, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Please note, this year's crop walk will be taking place next Sunday afternoon, October 13th, at the Central United Methodist Church. The address is in the announcement page in your bulletin. Registration begins at 12:45, and the walk itself begins at 2 o'clock. Jill McCombie has some more information, as we hope to have several folks from Berry Christian Church joining this year in that walk. As our annual turkey dinner on Thursday and Friday, November 7th and 8th, is approaching, we have some dates set for cooking turkeys. That will be the Monday through Wednesday mornings of October 21st through the 23rd, and also the week of the 28th through the 30th. And tickets for the turkey dinner are now available to be picked up and sold, as well as tickets for the quilt raffle. They're back on the table back in the foyer area. Once again, we're seeking donations of candy as well as volunteers to decorate their vehicle trunks for the trunk or treat on Saturday, October 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's always turned out to be a pretty fun event here at Berry. Please read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about several other activities taking place in the life of Berry Christian Church in the upcoming weeks and months. We want to say welcome again to Nanette Krause for serving as our organist while Lenora is still in Europe. I believe Lenora gets back next week. And today will be the final day to order a book from Gail Gentry's niece from the Jacobo Children's Wish List. Remember, proceeds from the book drive will be donated back to the Jacobo family to help with medical bills. Gail will be back at the back table with the wish list following today's service, and you may purchase a book by cash or check, or just leave your email or phone number and we'll get an invoice out to you. Also, the volunteer schedule for October to help with Sunday School and Children's Church has been posted on various bulletin boards around the church. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, I believe Bob. Where is Bob? Did Bob forget? Oh, there's Bob. Sneak up from behind.
That's all right. Good morning. We're getting ready to start Outreach Christmas Child. Shoe boxes are filled with items like school supplies, hygiene items, toys you can get. You get the idea. To send needy children overseas. Brochures and plastic shoe boxes are in the back of the sanctuary. Just pick out a number of shoe boxes you would like to fill and return them by November 24th. You read in the brochure, there's a thing in there on how to, what to put in your shoebox and what not to put in the shoebox. No candy, no toothpaste, no gum, so on. On Tuesday, October 29th, the Fuller Center is housing will be holding their 10th annual barbecue benefit and celebration at the Gladstone Community Center. This event marks another year in helping low affordable housing for many more struggling families. The tickets are $40, but the church will pick up half, making you to pay $20 for a meal. The meal is pulled pork, barbecue ribs, chicken, potato salad, coleslaw, barbecued beans, and drinks. There will be a silent auction at the end, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back if you would like to go. Last year, we were rained out. And this afternoon is the annual hayride and bonfire at Don and Judy's. Bring a side dish. Hot dogs and marshmallows will be provided. The address is in your bulletin. It is so much fun. Try to come. Thank you.
Please rise for the call to worship. How great are God's riches! How deep are his wisdom and knowledge! For all things were created by him. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 56, all stanzas. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of ear and eye, for the heart and mind's delight, for the mystic harmony, linking sense to sound and sight, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human art, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore one pure sacrifice of love, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Thanks to Eli Jacobo for his maiden voyage lighting our candle this morning. And thanks also for the on-the-job training by his older sister, Annalicia. May we bow in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we're grateful for the privilege to gather here and to make plans to gather again later today at our annual fall festival. We are blessed to be in close fellowship with our friends and family here at Berry Christian Church, and we give you all praises because the reason for our presence this morning is the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose presence we welcome now as we begin our worship together, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning.
materials ready.
Gotta get them ready.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Way down there. You'll learn these songs, you know, when you start going to church camp and stuff. That's where I learned them, in Sunday school. So, in this bulletin, I'm going to borrow this for a second, the sermon has the word godliness in it. And I wasn't quite sure if you knew what that word meant. So, godliness has the word God in it, right? It means what's inside, like in your heart, in your actions, in your head. If you are have godliness in you, then you do things like a Christian, and you do things like God. So I have a story to tell you. I have a friend, and her husband is blind, and he has a guide dog. And some of you have probably seen someone with a guide dog before. They usually have a little vest on, and you're not supposed to touch them. I always want to touch them, but you're not supposed to. Because they're working, right? They're a working dog, and they're helping the person that has them. And for this man that is blind, this dog's name is Waverly. And Waverly helps him so he doesn't bump into things. If he was coming over here, he would stop, so his owner would know there was a step to go up on. And he stays right with them all the time. Well, they take him everywhere because it's just part of their family, right? So they were going on vacation, and they couldn't take him. Guess what? He got to stay with me. He came to my house. Yeah, he stayed with me. I found him twice. And he's retired, right? They finally decided he was getting a little old. He was kind of bonking into things. He wasn't real safe to take him to the right route. So they said he was going to retire. Well, when Waverly came to my house, he didn't know he was retired, did he? How would a dog know he was retired and supposed to just be a pet? He didn't. So my dog couldn't play with him because he's never learned to play because he's a working dog. He followed me everywhere. I went down the step and he would stop and he'd go down the step with me. I'd go in the other room. He was right there. He thought he was still working, right? He didn't know he was retired. And then I turned around in the kitchen while I was cooking, and my dogs are not allowed in the kitchen. There he was, right under my feet. And I didn't want to tell him to go lay down because he was kind of confused, right? This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be here for you. So think of that when you think of godliness. It's in your heart and in your head and your actions. So when you go outside this church, just like Waverly came to my house, he didn't know he wasn't he didn't know he was retired, right? You don't have to be a Christian right in church, do you? When you walk out of these walls of the church and you go somewhere else, think of Waverly. He served all the time, whether he was retired or not. Even when he was in someone else's house or in the grocery store, he was a service dog. He did what he was supposed to do. So as Christians, we want godliness inside of us, don't we? We want to be godly. And so if you see someone in the grocery store that might have dropped something, you could pick it up for them. You can still smile. You can still open doors. We've talked about that a lot. But you have godliness in you when you act like that. So let's pray. Dear God, help us all to be godly. Help us to have a godliness heart and to learn what this word is and take it outside of these walls into the community. We want to be an example of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to celebrate today with Art and Janet Kinder, as today is their wedding anniversary. So congratulations, Art and Janet. Just wish you the very best. We also want to keep Cindy Sexton and her family in prayer with the loss of her father-in-law. Cindy, keep you in prayer. And also Bonnie Wisdom with the loss of her former husband, Roger Wisdom. There's going to be a kind of a come-and-go visiting time down in the fellowship hall on Wednesday of this week from about 5 until 8 o'clock, but the interment at the cemetery will be a more of a private matter for family and a few friends. We also lift up Barbara Mayberry and Peggy Treese, as both are now home recovering from surgeries this past week, but making good progress. We want to remember Lauren, or Kirby, in our prayers, as Kirby was also in the hospital last week, but thankfully he was able to get out, and he and Helen were on the way to Branson today, so we hope all goes well. We lift up Sonia George's brother, John Martin. We also remember Carol Studebaker's mother, Anna Lou Spencer, as she's having some heart concerns. We want to lift up Bunny Duggan, the friend of Melvin and Dora Manley, who attend the early service. We lift up Bob Maddox as he anticipates surgery later this month. We lift up Connie Stark's brother, Chris. We remember Michelle. And Michelle, it is a joy to see you this morning. Praise God. So glad you could be here, Jesus and Michelle both. We lift up in Linda Stevens' family, her daughter, Lisa, as she is making recovery from hip surgery this past week. In Ted Ferris's family, we remember daughters Pam and Cindy, son Terry, and daughter-in-law Cheryl. And it's a joy for us to be in the Lord's house, and so may we be in the spirit of prayer as we bow our heads this morning. Most gracious and loving God, it is with humbleness of heart and soul that we bow our heads in reverence before your presence this Lord's Day. For the abundance of your mercies and your blessings, we offer you praise and adoration. For your abiding grace that not only frees us from the burden of guilt, but allows us to freely associate with your living presence, we give you thanks. For as Numbers chapter 6, verse 25 reminds us, the Lord makes his face to shine upon us and is gracious unto us. And merciful God, as we contemplate the abundance of your great mercy, through which we have been granted the freedom from sin and lavished by the gift of life eternal, may your Holy Spirit help us to turn our hearts from ingratitude to thanksgiving. For as Jonah needed to be reminded, so also do we need to be reminded that you are a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not to punish. We offer this prayer this morning on behalf of each of us as the people of God, as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our first lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Now let's prepare ourselves for God's message for us today. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
In the 1600s, Holland was enjoying what was called the Dutch Golden Age as the country attained the highest per capita income of the world. The Dutch had acquired such great international wealth and notoriety that even certain varieties of their tulip bulbs soared in monetary value. As the tulip bulb speculation rose to feverish heights back in 1635, a sale of 40 coveted bulbs went for what was called 100,000 guilders. It was almost 286 times the yearly wage of a skilled laborer in the day. Or in today's American dollars, those 40 bulbs would cost $8,580,000. Despite being a neutral country during the Second World War, the Netherlands were invaded and decimated by the Germans in May of 1940. Nearing the close of the war in the winter of 1944-45, starvation among the Dutch became commonplace as Amsterdam was captivated by a deep freeze that lasted several months. Tulip growers were unable to export their bulbs for cash as the harbors were frozen shut, and so few other food resources were available that tulip bulbs were eaten as a last resort. For they, like sugar beets, could at least provide a high starch form of sustenance. Dutch doctors even distributed recipes on how to prepare the bulbs, which have a taste between that of onions and potatoes. The tulips of Holland remind us that the perceived value of many things of the world are fickle and certainly dependent upon the circumstances people are living through. Few things remain priceless forever. Yet, as you and I share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper this morning, we are reminded that Christ offers us a blessing that is always sustainable and is indeed priceless. And of course, that is the gift of life eternal. As John chapter 3, verse 36 reminds us, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We turn to our communion hymn. It's number 587 as we sing all stanzas of Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul
shall find rest beyond the river.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we gather at this table in remembrance of your Son and the love you have for us. These emblems remind us of your sacrifice of his life, and as we take them, we are renewed with hope that today we will know that he lives in us today and every day. Lord, we ask that for your blessing on these emblems, in Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. We all know John 3:16, but we ought to know 1 John 3:16 just as well. This text says, "This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us." Isn't that a text worth remembering? 1 John 3:16. We celebrate these words as we receive an offering in thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. And as Lana first leads us in a word of prayer. Lana?
Dear Heavenly Father, as the song goes, how do we say thanks for the things you do for us? The blessings that you bestow on us on a daily basis. The healings and the blessings and the praises of all the things that life brings us. The way you help us through, the way you help us to accept, and the way you help us to adapt. We're so grateful for all those blessings. And we're also grateful, Lord, for the daily blessings of this congregation and the giving and the support of this congregation in every way as we tend to want to serve those in our community and around the world and those here in our own church with the many, many, many blessings that you give us through these tithes and offerings we get each week. We just ask that you bless each one. Bless the gift and bless the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Always, in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we're indeed grateful to be in your house, to learn more of your word, and to understand our relationship to you more fully. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. Do you remember the very first time you saw a Google search engine startup screen? Does anybody actually remember that? A couple of you do. I guess I remember that more succinctly because of where I was. I was in the office of a fellow pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska. But it was all unique because his office was in a tower. And from the windows of that office, you could look out and see all of Lincoln. And Again, with the resources that this rather large congregation had, obviously he was probably the first preacher in Lincoln to have Google set up in his computer, and he says, "Dennis, come here, have a seat." So I sat across from his desk, obviously, as he had that console behind his desk. He turns that big old, you know, remember the big old box for your computer? He says, "Look at this. What do you want to know about?" And that's how I first saw Google. Now, it was not the only search engine of the day, was it? Remember Yahoo? You do remember that. A few other things. But it wasn't long before Google dominated the quest for infinite information the world over. But you know, for most of humanity's history, the replication of the printed word, and especially the replication of photographs, was an expensive and very laborious project, wasn't it? You know, it was just 40 years ago that some of us, if we wanted to acquire information to create a paper or other things we had to do for school, we went to where? The library. You walked into the library and you went to this box full of all these little bitty drawers. It was called what? The card catalog. Yeah, and you went into the subject matter and you fiddled your way through all of that. You look, till you got some ideas, and you had to scribble down, you know, what book, what magazine, or what newspaper article you thought you might be interested in. And then you had to go to what were called what? The stacks. And dig out those books and magazines and whatever else and bring it all over to some big library table. And then you went through the process of taking your trusty old little, what? Note cards. And you wrote and you wrote and you wrote information because you couldn't take that stuff out. Finally, before I got out of seminary, they had this thing called a photocopy machine. And you could take that same book, and if you got in line, and if you paid enough money, you could take that book and you could slap it on there, and you turn the page, turn the page. But you could take that home, and you could scribble all over it and mark it with a highlighter. You know, you all know that I like my highlighters. You know, I always have good, that's the way I can read. That way I can see what I'm doing. Oh my, but it was still a laborious task, wasn't it? Several years ago, my oldest nephew was sitting at the family's home computer at his home. I walked into the living room where he was, and he was sitting there and he started grumbling. He said, "I am just so sick and tired of having to edit this paper on the computer." I went over to Brian. I said, "Brian, you have no idea what it means to type up a paper page by page and make sure that the footnotes were on the bottom of a page with the right kind of spacing, because if it wasn't, you had to type the whole page over." Remember? Some of us remember. You know, last month, Google celebrated its birthday. What birthday was it? Anybody know? Anybody care? Well, you're going to care today. At least 21 years of age. It was actually on the 4th of September, 1998, that Google was started in Menlo Park, California. Google is actually a number. Did you know that? It is a number. It is 10 to the power of 100, or 10 times 10, 100 times, which is essentially a 1 with 100 zeros behind it. In other words, it is trying to symbolize the unfathomable amount of data that is available at your fingertips just simply by typing a word into that search engine, and all of a sudden all kinds of stuff pops up, right? Back in 1900, back in 1900, human knowledge was doubling every century. By the end of World War II, human knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, human knowledge doubles every 13 months. And now also with the onset of what is called the Internet of Things, where everything is kind of connected, everything becomes digital, it seems that no human being will be able to acquire and retain all of the information that is out there and available, because in the next few years, information will be doubling every 12 hours. Now, that's a lot of Google, is it not? But you know, with all the vast knowledge now available to nearly everyone, with just a few taps and swipes on our screen, on our mobile phones or our tablets or whatever, why is it that most folks are content to stick with the familiar, simply going back and forth, updating that which they already know? How's our favorite team doing? What's our favorite celebrity up to? What happened in the last episode of our favorite whatever show, right? What are my friends and neighbors saying in their last tweet? Tapping and swiping through data, it's not so much to inform us or to educate us as it is to do what? To entertain us. With data and details that may seem important in this moment, but when we look at the grand scheme of things in God's perspective, all of that has zero consequence, right? Yet in the Google array of information, there is so much we could be learning. And first and foremost, what a wonderful opportunity is at hand for us to actually learn more about the very one who created us. You know, a century ago, our great-grandfathers and mothers certainly knew far less about what was beyond them than we do today, right? In fact, they probably knew very little beyond the boundaries of family, friends, and community, except what they may have been able to glean in newspapers if they were available, or what they had learned in geography and history textbooks. So a lot of what they knew about the so-called, if you will, outside world was really probably rather dated. But when it came to matters of their faith, I would venture to say that many of them were far better informed about what they had learned in Scripture. Many could recite passages from the Bible. I bet you they could tell you the chronological order of many of the Bible characters. The history of one church I served, back in the 1920s and 30s, there were two pastors who had such great mental capacity and had committed that to godly business, if you will, that both of them were capable of reciting any passage in the New Testament from the beginning to the end. And in that same church, there was also another pastor who had committed to the dedication of memorization and had the ability to do it, that he could recite to you the entire Bible. You know, we call ourselves people of God. Many of us would say we're people of the Word. But if we had to quantify that by what we really know, many of us would have to say that we are probably people of a little bit of God. Yet, our lives are on a march. Where? We believe to the kingdom. A Gallup poll done several years ago said that 81% of all Americans believe in heaven. 80% of them believe that they are going to heaven. What's interesting is that less than 80% of people who were also surveyed in the same Gallup poll believed in God. Now, how can you go to heaven if you don't believe in God? And yet, that is the case for our people today. Yes, Google last month turned 21 years of age, but for you and me, maybe it's time for us to act like adult believers and get beyond our own self-interest and begin to Google godliness instead of the peripheral amount of data that we Google every day. Today, it's just as easy to read scripture from your mobile device as it is to look up a friend's latest tweet. Today, it's just as easy to pick up a daily devotional from your mobile telephone than to check today's weather forecast. Today, we can Google a scripture text that interests us, and we can look at reams of data to tell us what that text is trying to convey to us. Time and again, the Apostle Paul was burdened with the task of calling believers back into faithfulness long after their confessions of faith and baptism. Even in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul declares, "You've been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on these things, not on things of the earth." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he says, "My friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable." The sign outside this morning says, "Know God." It lifts up the text of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. "If anyone wants to boast, they should boast that they know and understand God." I imagine most of you, sometime this afternoon, if not right as you're walking out the door, you're going to pick up the almighty mobile phone. You're going to look up something about someone, something, whatever. How about this week, focusing a little bit more on Googling the godliness that we all really need most? Because after all, we do believe we're going where? In the end, God's kingdom. Shouldn't we know more about God than all that which is of the periphery? Our hymn of invitation this morning, it is hymn number 707, as we stand and sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Marching to Zion. Maybe today is your day to make that confession of faith. Maybe today is your day to come forward, become a part of the fellowship here at Berry. I extend the invitation to you as we stand and sing number 707, stanzas 1 and 4.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
A reminder, we do have the Fall Festival at the Thomas's House this afternoon. Again, we'll be carpooling from the church. If you'd like to meet here in the church parking lot at 3:45, we'll all be heading out. That way we'll have fewer cars over there for you who are able to carpool. Otherwise, it starts at 4 o'clock. Bring a side dish to share. And again, remember, next Sunday afternoon is the crop walk. And, of course, Jill McCombie is helping to get people lined up for that. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to know of your presence with us. For this we give thanks. Guide us in the new week as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, the risen Christ adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, for Christ our judge shall come to glorify the saints for their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice.